What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Wild Time Talk Show. This is episode number 9, and I am sitting at the new podcast table with Dracob himself.
Dracob? Yeah, Drake Honickman here.
And as you guys know, Gavin Gray speaking. I am the host of tonight's podcast, and it's a little bit different scenery. I mean, we're in a new area doing a podcast. This is the new podcast room. Drake, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of going to try to be the new podcast room. I mean, we bounce around every once in a while when everyone's ready to go. But I kind of moved into a place here by myself, and with the help of my friends, got a place set up and kind of a little hangout pad. got all the bucks on the wall. And
you got a nice little guest bedroom here, and obviously you don't really need that for much more than anything better than a hunting room. So Joey got you a podcast table, pretty sweet poker top table here. Got the Wild Time logo in the middle of it, and it works out perfect for what we're doing right here. So
yeah, it's perfect.
This is referred to as the podcast room, aka Drake's office, beer fridge, butcher table, everything.
All of the above. got everything going on in here.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different tonight, just being me and you. This is the first podcast, just two people. And I think we've had a couple podcasts to go out with three people, but it's just me and you tonight, dude.
Yeah, and we know a lot about this story.
Yeah, there's no one that knows more about this story than me and you, so nothing better for it. But, I mean, to cut to the chase, you had some luck.
Yeah, I killed a buck on November 8th of this year. And, there's a long story to the background of it. You know, Gavin, me and you, we put in a lot of work for these deer, honestly, to come down to it.
Yeah, and me and you, we hunt a couple of the same farms, and that's why it brings, you know, me and you talking about this story. So, but I don't know. I guess we can throw it back to last year on one specific farm that, you know, we hunt and manage together. It kind of starts back then with this, you know, specific buck showing up.
Yeah, I think late season, like December, he started showing up last year.
Yeah, and which me and you, we already had buck tags filled, but obviously with this being one of our main hunting farms, we keep cameras running and usually do just about anywhere. But we had a bunch of cameras on this farm last year, and, you know, corn piles, hay piles when it was real cold. And I think this buck did show up for the first time on a corn pile that I know of. I mean, this buck, yeah, I mean, it was a three-year-old, and he wasn't like a crazy impressive three-year-old, so... You know, we obviously saved pictures of him, but it wasn't like every single picture we saw.
Yeah, no, like when you'd see him, you're like, oh, he's got good beam, you know, good frame to him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just kind of recognized him for his long beams, and, you know, we started calling him Beamer for that reason.
That's where he got his name.
Yeah, and I mean, the first, what did I just tell you a minute ago? The first picture that I at least have saved in my phone was like December 2nd.
Yeah, so. And the reason why we keep them bait piles on the farm, too, is just like, we're putting that bait pile out, you know, hay piles and everything. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to picking up those sheds from those deer. Unfortunately, I don't think neither of us found sheds to that buck.
No, we had a pretty slow shed season. I know you got into a pretty good match, but overall, it was kind of a slow shed season back on this farm. So,
yeah, that's what we look forward to, though, for them late seasons to go pick up sheds and, you know, just kind of put the story together.
Yeah.
And with that buck showing up, we were kind of wanting to. I know I picked up just one match set at this farm.
Yeah.
And it was to a buck that actually showed up this year, too, that was kind of on the hit list, you know, on our minds.
Yeah, both those bucks were three-year-olds last year. And, you know, of course, now it sucks that we did not find sheds off this deer last year. And we found sheds off the other one. And now he's running around as a four-year-old right now. But,
It's cool to connect that story and try to bring it back.
Yeah.
That's why we do all that fucking work.
Yeah, it's exactly why. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, like I was saying, December 2nd was the first time he showed up for us. We kept him in mind. I think, I don't know, there was probably a thought that ran through our mind with Joey, you know, not having the best of luck last year, having Joey come and try to kill this deer.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a bad deer.
Yeah, and Joey's got a property not very far from here, and he wasn't with us tonight to sit in on this podcast, but he definitely has some pictures of him last year and from this year, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of keep tabs on all these deer in the block, and it's kind of cool that we all kind of share and everything.
Yeah, but, I mean, looking back, Drake, you know, getting pictures of him last year, did you ever think that he'd be a buck to show back up and you'd be the one ended up killing him this year?
Honestly, I mean, you know, there's were some other bucks with potential from years past. You know, you always get those 4 or 5 year old deer that you're looking forward to the upcoming years, and then you got the up and coming bucks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was not number one on the line. I'll be honest with you. He wasn't, but, you know, it just happens year after year.
Yeah.
You got to look forward to what's showing up, what's in your area,
whatnot. I do remember, like, last year, this other buck that you found the match off of, he was definitely a lot more frequent throughout the whole year on this piece. And, I mean, he was a little bit bigger as a three-year-old, and, you know, we thought he had a little bit more potential than what he had ended up being. But I know, like, me and you both wanted to find that buck sheds really hard. So, like, probably, you know, the thought in our mind was, okay, we want to focus on that buck.
Crown.
Yeah, crown. And then you ended up finding the sheds, and, you know, it just didn't really turn up good for the buck you ended up harvesting. But
no, but it's all the way it, you know, kind of unfolds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's just an extra, I don't know, an extra point to have some sheds sitting in front of them.
Yeah.
Definitely kind of cool, but
it definitely is, and that it makes you want to shoot that deer much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, to be able to just have that story, you know, trail cam photo sheds. It's a whole story that we try to build, especially with filming and everything.
Yeah. But no, I mean, he stuck around, you know, December. I know we have pictures of him in January. I don't know of any for sure pictures of him in February. Do you?
I don't know. I don't recall. And I know we always usually do pretty good here finding sheds. You know, I mean, me and you have had years where we go back there and pick up 5, 6 sheds.
Yeah.
And it's usually awesome. But this year is kind of a little strung out, and or this past shed season was strung out.
Mm.
And I don't really remember him being around February or.
No, I don't really either.
But like we said, you know, we both had buck tags filled.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You try to keep tabs on the deer, but it kind of slips your mind. We were just talking about that before we started the podcast.
Yeah, literally. But no, I mean, rolling into the summer, I mean, if you want to go into that, all the work we put in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, summertime, you know, as much as I do, we were summer, spring. Springtime, we planted, I think it's, I don't know, I'd say roughly 2 acres.
Yeah.
Acre, 2 acres.
Yeah, probably about 1.5 acres, 2 acres.
Of corn. And we kind of really set our goals for corn because there's nothing more than having standing corn late season with a buck tag in your pocket.
Yeah.
You get them brutal winters, you know, if it's strung out, if you got a farm that holds them deer, it just, it's money.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of like what we want.
You know? Yeah.
But so we did all that work for that corn, and usually in years past, I mean, we haven't done too great with the corn.
No.
But this year is probably our best year.
Right? Oh, yeah, I would definitely think so. You know, we aren't farmers by any means. We know, I mean, I guess you could say we know how to plant the corn, but we don't know what it really takes after that with fertilizing and, you know, spraying at the right times and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but no, this year I think we did pretty good. I mean, you know, that 1 acre piece or that 1 acre little field we have of standard corn, I think that did. It did pretty dang good.
Yeah.
I mean, it did really good.
Definitely. And we were looking forward to that. You know, we did a couple brassicas plots, and we put some clover in.
Yeah.
Dug a watering hole.
Yeah, we did put a watering hole in.
And dug the watering hole. That was cool. Nothing like extraordinary on the trail cameras or anything, but.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in total, just on this farm, we probably have upwards of three acres of food plots between standing corn and our, you know, our green plots. And then, you know, we also put that watering hole in, which that was pretty cool. That was something we started doing this year. We got 2 different food plots on 2 different farms this year. And, I mean, we had a camera on that watering hole, and it seemed like every single deer that entered the plot, you know, ended up making its way over to it.
Yeah, that was really cool to watch go down.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just out of curiosity or if it was, you know, they were actually using it and drinking the water out of it, but.
Yeah, and the way this farm sets up is it's like, it's probably 60% ag field, and then, you know, the rest is wood block, but it's a big block of woods, and we got some permission parcels off of the block of woods.
Yep.
Permission parcels around, you know, it's just something that you kind of do to try to get on these deer.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't going to catch them in a 60-acre block every single day, so you got to move on them and everything.
Yep.
And old cattle pasture. That's kind of what we turned into our food plots.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did help us to kind of trip into that and start, you know, start doing that. But it also kind of, it makes us want to get out there more and just do something.
Yeah, exactly.
We're always thinking about deer and we're trying to make our odds better.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, really with all that work we put in throughout the whole summer, our cameras were dry.
Oh, they were dry.
Yeah. I mean, they sucked.
And we didn't really like pay too much attention. It was kind of like, it was high on the list, but at the same time, it was almost like we were running a couple cell cams or non-cell cams. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there wasn't anything here.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, we weren't like keeping too high tabs on it.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
I agree a lot. But I don't know. We just watched our non-cells all summer long, and we just saw nothing, you know, worth doing anything about, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Crown, he ended up coming back as a four-year-old this year, and I don't think we got pictures of him till probably October.
Yeah, it was, like, beginning. Well, actually, sort of, like, fast forward into that, we went on our Michigan trip to
mm-hmm.
October.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had cameras back here, and that's the thing with non-cells is you set them out, you let them bake,
yeah.
And you're like, you're like, all right, well, we got this trip planned. We're not really going to hit the woods hard here back home.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to Michigan, hit it hard, get home from Michigan, you know, beginning of October, and we're going to check cards and see what's around.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going back and checking them cards, and, like, nothing showed up because the cards didn't take any pictures.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think we had them cameras soaking for a month.
Mm-hmm. It seems like when you let a non-cell bake, it can either be like Christmas morning when you're checking that camera, or you kind of want to turn around and punch the camera. Like either nothing hits it or you have a malfunction to where the camera doesn't work. It's sometimes it's good. Most times it's bad.
Yeah.
For us, at least.
I literally checked three cars and not a single camera took a single picture.
Yeah.
So it was like devastating. You know, it's like it's go time back here at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're kind of searching, looking different properties. And this year I had some other bucks on my mind
mm-hmm.
that were, you know, summering on the properties and everything. And they were good 4 or 5 year old bucks, 150 class deer that I would love to shoot. And, you know, kind of eventually lost tabs on those deer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to rewind back, you know, check those cameras and nothing. And with us doing all this work on the property, we went back there. I remember it was like October 20th or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weekend, and we all went back there to brush hog our sand.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, this is a big, I don't know, a big key point in this story.
Yeah. So we went back there to brush hog the corn.
Yep.
And we were talking about it after we get back from Michigan. We're like, all right, we're going to brush hog some corn, mm-hmm. maybe get some of these does feeding out in here and get some mature bucks checking these does.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our game plan. Well, we ended up knocking down some corn, and we were just doing some work back there. And me, Marcus, and Nick ended up kicking up a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good deer. We never really figured out, put two and two together, into what deer it was.
Yeah.
But we knew it was a good buck, and, you know, it was go time in Ohio. It was time to be in the tree stand.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, well, kind of, like, extend that story a little bit, like, just to give you guys an idea of how this happened. We were clearing shooting lanes for this elevated blind and doing a bunch of work that needed done. Drake was knocking down corn with the skid steer and brush hog on the front of it. And for some reason, right in front of our elevated blind, we got done knocking down the corn, kind of sat there, talked for a little bit, decided that we were going to go over to another little plot of corn that we have. It's probably only like a quarter acre. But like,
yeah,
I mean, I think we decided that we were going to knock it down or knock some of it down or something like that. Yeah. And you, Marcus, and Nick hopped on, you know, the side-by-side. I got in the skid steer, and I was, you know, you guys were driving over to the other plot of corn, which was, you know, just a couple hundred yards away, 200 yards away. And I was obviously behind you in the slow skid steer, and you guys made it down to that plot of corn first. And, I mean, you can carry on with the story. I wasn't there. I just heard what you guys had to say.
Yeah. Where that buck was bedded up, there's like a pond, just to kind of paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
We had standing corn on this top, and it went right up to basically this drop off to a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very wide of a plot of corn.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up seeing that buck, and it was almost like he was bedded right there with his back to the pond. And he was looking towards the way we were coming. And I saw a deer kick up real quick, and I was like, oh, there's a deer. And since we weren't getting much showing up on the on that piece, we're like, all right, could be a doe, anything.
Yeah.
We pop around the cornfield and we're like, holy shit, that's a nice buck. And we all kind of like got all hyped up about it, went back to Gavin, and we were freaking out. We're like, buck, big buck,
yeah. You know?
And I remember telling you, I'm like, all right, let's go get some silk.
Yeah, I mean, you guys explained this deer, and you know, I didn't see it, but three of you guys, I mean, all three of you guys explained this deer to be, you know, a big ass deer, 150 some inch deer.
Yeah.
But from what you guys explained, with a deep fork too.
Yeah.
Seemed like every single one of you guys said that. You guys have seen enough deer, scored enough deer, held enough deer to be able to tell, okay, you know, I wasn't doubting you guys.
Yeah.
You know, if you went down there and you got a little hyped up, maybe I would have doubted myself.
Yeah.
But three of you, you know?
Yeah, we definitely got hyped up for that deer. I mean, from what I saw, it did look like, from the side profile, it looked like he had a big split too, and like tall brows, and he was just like a wall of times.
Yeah.
And Nick was right next to me in the front seat, and he's like, he agreed, like, same kind of frame-wise, and mm-hmm. that we both pictured. Marcus kind of saw about the same thing. He wasn't really too sure.
Yeah.
You know, it was a quick glimpse. Like, yeah, he stopped for a minute, and then he ran off, and we're like, either way, that was a nice buck. So yeah. It's time to kind of step it up a notch.
You guys whipped the side-by-side around and, you know, came back down the trail and met me before I got down there. You're like, turn around. You know, yeah. We ended up not knocking that corn down, turned around, went back up to the farm and where the trucks were parked and stuff like that. We all piled in trucks, and Drake's like, we're going to buy cell cams. So that night we went out to the local Walmart.
Yeah.
And what'd you end up buying it for?
Yeah, I bought four reveals.
Yeah.
It was a 2.0 Tacticams. I've never ran those before.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few Exoduses and a couple other trail cameras. And, a
couple other straggler brands.
Yeah. So they were running a deal on them at Walmart, and I bought two 2-packs. They were selling them in 2-packs. They were on clearance.
So, I mean, you got four cell cams. We came on back to the place, and we spent that night. I mean, it was almost dark when you guys saw that buck. Probably an hour left of daylight. So by the time we got back, it was dark. We put the headlamps on, we got in the side-by-side, and we went and deployed four cell cams that night.
Yeah, that was definitely, the next morning was really exciting.
Yeah.
Next couple weeks.
What did we end up doing? We put, was it two or three on the actual piece?
Yeah, two on the actual piece and then two off of it.
Okay.
Like, kind of like surrounding areas.
Okay, so we got one across the road.
Yeah.
And then where else?
You know, down by the pond where we kind of pushed them out.
Yep.
We threw one on a corn pile, I think, that night. Didn't we throw a corn pile? Yeah,
yes, we did.
Threw one on a corn pile about, you know, middle of the property. Mm-hmm. And then we threw one down in this permission piece in this bottom on a scrape.
Yeah.
And this scrape kind of plays a factor later on in the story here.
Mm-hmm.
We actually opened up this big mock scrape, and Gavin was like, oh, there's a grapevine right here. And
yeah.
You love them grapevines.
Yeah, we got the grapevine ripping on that scrape. But, yeah, I mean, we put two on the sole piece, and then we put two others on permission pieces. And we had four cell cams baking solely around trying to pick up on this, you know, deer that you guys saw.
Yeah, the elusive giant, really, because actually, the deer that we kind of pictured in our minds never actually hit the camera.
No, nothing a deer like that.
But I think those cameras were actually out for, like, 2 weeks. Before we actually picked up on something that was, or maybe a week,
Right.
You know? It was like beginning, I know, because that was around the end of October, so a couple days, you know, maybe a week,
okay,
give or take, before it picked up on pictures. I don't really know.
Yeah, we had probably like two cell cams out of the four that ended up doing pretty good, and then we had, you know, two more that never really did much, but.
Yeah, after that encounter with that deer, I remember hearing some, you know, friends of friends saying they saw a nice buck.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember putting a sit on. It was like end of October. I remember putting a sit on across the road where one of our cell cams were.
Permission piece.
Yeah, permission piece. Because in that area, we heard from a friend of a friend that they saw a big buck with a doe. You know, I put a set in over there and was trying to pick up on this elusive deer that we saw. But I don't know if it was kind of a long string of events.
Yeah.
But we ended up picking up on some nice deer nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Did we have any non-cell picks of the buck you ended up shooting?
Dude, I don't even remember. On that scrape?
Just any. Like, before we bought the four cell cams, did that buck?
No.
No.
I don't know.
So
because that was when we got back from Michigan and nothing was there.
Yeah.
There was no data.
I know Crown at least hit one of our non-cells on the, you know, the south end of the property.
Yeah.
So
there was a 10 point and then crown.
Okay, yeah.
So remember after we pulled that one on the scrape, we got those videos.
Yeah. So we knew about, you know, some deer in the area, and then the cell cam started picking up, and crown ended up starting to hit one of the cell cams a good amount. And
yeah, well, when crown actually showed up on that cell cam, that would basically put us into the 6th of November. I remember it was a rainy morning, and this was actually, I got off the weekend of the November 2nd, and I had the whole week off to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the morning of the 6th. I was hunting hard before that. I didn't really have too many good encounters. I actually passed it was a pretty decent encounter. It was a 5-year-old buck we called George.
Oh, yeah.
I had him come slip in on me, and I let him walk. He's a good-looking buck, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's old, but he never got the size. He's always kind of been on the smaller spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah, so I let him walk, and then that same morning I was hunting that same area kind of, but a different piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there, and I was like thinking about this one piece, and this would kind of rewind back to 2 years ago when this is like close to this farm that I ended up shooting this buck on. And Gavin and I had permission 2 years ago from this piece of property.
Yeah.
That whole morning of November 6th, I was thinking about this piece, and I'm like, man, I'd really like to be back in there again. You mm-hmm. know, that year that you hunted it, you watched.
Yeah. I mean, it was all the said year, a couple of years ago, that I hunted it. We had a really good bachelor group on this farm, you know, showing up all summer long, and they kind of all disappeared. Well, I ended up, you know, we ended up getting permission on this piece. I went in there during rut. You were either down south down or had south. Your buck tagged. I don't know.
I was down south.
Yeah. But I mean, I ended up getting into the thick of it over there with all the bucks that summered, you know, on this piece. They were all over on the permission piece. So.
And to like kind of paint a picture, it's just crossed one road, but it's about a mile away.
Yeah.
So these bucks that were summering, they went to these does in that block just because they were coming into heat at that time. And you actually watched like a good deer you almost actually shot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, this piece, it's a landlocked piece. It's out of state owner. I got a hold of him a couple years ago, got the go ahead. He was really nice, you know, gave us the go ahead. It was awesome. And I mean, it's a piece we've always dreamed of being in.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. There's, you know, other pieces that we've had surrounding that have always led us to wanting to be in there. Well, got the permission a couple years ago, hunted it that whole season. Following year, you know, I call back trying to get permission again. Well, it turns out I had two different numbers for two different owners of the property. On X, it shows two different names. Somehow I acquired two different numbers, one for, you know, I'm assuming a lady or something like that.
It was like the wrong numbers.
Yeah, it might have been. Wrong number. I think she owned a property down the road or something, and they were somehow affiliated. Don't know for sure. And then, you know, she told me no. I never could get my point across. She never, you know, stuck on the phone enough to want to hear what I had to say.
Kind of shut you down real quick.
Shut me down real quick. So I was just like, what the heck? You know, whatever. It's kind of weird. This probably isn't making sense to you, but it's just like, turns out this lady owned a property down the road, and she's family members with the owner of the property that we actually got permission with or for. Well, she never, you know, let me explain myself, so I never figured that out.
And we kind of wrote it off after that. We're like, well, this sucks. Like, we want, because literally, you and I both passed a up and coming big buck, and we were like looking so forward to being back in that piece.
Yeah, exactly. And, I don't know. I think I ended up calling her a couple times that summer or whatever, and she shut me down without even letting me get a word out of my mouth, basically.
Yeah, so this, I remember talking to you a couple days before that morning, and you're like, all right, well, you know, we got these numbers, might as well call and get a hold of them and just try it again, you know?
Yeah.
And you were still working. It was the morning of the 6th, and I was driving home from the other farm that I was hunting, and that was the same morning I got pictures of Crown in that bottom on the scrape that we set up on the cell cam. That was the first time that cell cam was baking for like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time he ever hit it in that bottom. It was a real rainy morning.
Yep.
He hit that scrape at, I think it was like 8:30 in the morning. And then I was sitting in the blind over at the other farm, and I watched him hit it again at like 11. And I was telling myself, I'm like, oh, I should probably get down in there.
Yeah. You
know, it's that time of year. And I never did. I was ended up late to the ball game. But I sat it out in the blind and watched them come through again. And on my way home, I was like, I passed that piece of property.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm giving them a call. You know, I got the time. I'm off work. Might as well give them a call.
Mm-hmm.
So I called that number you sent me and got a pickup from the guy. You know, I explained to him. I'm like, hey, this is who I am. You know, talked to you a couple years back.
Yep.
Me and my buddy.
Yep.
We hunted the piece. And he's like, yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, he was all, like, excited about it.
He was the actual owner, the right guy to talk to.
Yeah. 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 He's like, my brother used to hunt it all the time. He had a bunch of luck. He's like, you got my number. You got my name. He's like, just reach out to me. He's like, it's all yours. He's like, I hope you get one.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he told me. And I was like, all right, cool. And, like, it is kind of hard to explain after this, though. But, like, I called Gavin. I was all excited. Gavin's like, hey. And I was like, what's up, dude? And he's like, oh, not much. Still at work. Like, he's all depressed and I'm sitting out hunting. He's at work. But it was funny. It ended up working out for both of us. But he, he's like, all right, well, what do we got to do now? And I'm like, that's right. Because the 2 years previous, we had the permission to the piece we could hunt, but it's landlocked.
Yeah.
And the lady recently sold her property to a new owner that we had permission to get to the landlocked piece.
Yeah, parking permission and access permission.
Yeah.
She has since sold to a new owner.
Yeah. And luckily, your family kind of ended up having good ties with the new owner.
Yeah. My brothers farmed the piece, and I, you know, somewhat know him just through that. And, you know, I got a hold of him. And to start, it was a no. I mean, he shut me down. He likes the deer. His girlfriend likes the deer. He told me no, whatever. He basically said it was a no, but he'll talk to his girlfriend and get back to me by later that night. Well, that was on my way home from work. I just got home. It was no more than 30 minutes later, and he calls me back. And, you know, just a total change of attitude. He gave me permission. He gave me a new permission to park, you know, in said area, walk through his property to get to the hunting piece that we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was strictly it. But, you know, it went from, you know, us kind of being screwed to, you know, up back on a high.
Yeah. That was an elite pull.
Yeah.
I got that phone call from Gavin. He's like, hey, we're good to go. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the hardest part was over. We had hunting permission. Hunting permission is the hardest part to get.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we'd be fine to be able to just park in this guy's field driveway, walk through his property, get back to where we can actually hunt. But it was a no. That was the easy permission to get. We already had the hard, and we got turned down on the easy. But then he called back and we got it. So
So that evening of the 6th, I ended up going in on Crown, kind of relatively close to that scrape that he hit the morning of.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't end up having any action there that evening that he hit it. And I remember, the time that we pulled permission, me and you went into that piece. So this was before Crown hit that scrape.
Okay.
So you and I went in there and we had a good hunt with, you know, hot does in there with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was probably like the 4th we went in there.
Yeah, might have been.
Okay, so you're a little backwards right now.
Yeah.
You're talking ahead of yourself.
Yeah, we went in there the same night we pulled permission.
Yeah.
We had a great hunt.
Yeah, so you just kind of started a story that was ahead of that.
Yeah.
So, no, yeah, this was the 4th that we got permission. We just kind of randomly went in there knowing that, you know, there's good bucks in the area.
Yeah.
It's always proved itself. And I mean, we ended up going in there, finding a tree, doing a hanging hunt. And I mean, you were climbing up the tree and I couldn't see because I was on the ground, but you were 2 sticks high, just seeing deer like crazy.
Yeah. I was like, buck, buck.
Yeah.
We had this 3-year-old 9-point come, like, I mean, Gavin's on the ground. My bow's on the ground. I wasn't going to shoot him, but he came into 30 yards. Like, if it was a buck we wanted to shoot, Gavin could grab bow and shot him.
Yeah. I mean, he was all rutted up. 30 yards just like staring at me, but also just like walking heavy by and, you know, looking at me. I could have grabbed Drake's bow and got him, but, you know, it would have been pretty sweet if it was a big buck, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So that was a little rewind.
Yeah.
We knew that there was some hot does and good action in there just like times before.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of fast forward back to what I was talking about. Crown hit that scrape on the 6th. And I thought that was the morning that I was hunting Barnesies, but I was all messed up.
Yeah.
I'm confused. But anyway, so to kind of straighten things out there, so the morning of November 6th is when crown hit the scrape in that bottom.
Yeah.
And that was that cell cam we put out a week before, you know. A
couple weeks before.
Yeah. Looking forward to something showing up on it. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time he ever hit that scrape, and it was a random morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, you know, I got to get in there and try to hunt him for the afternoon. So I remember you calling me, and you're like, all right, well, you know, I'm not going to make it with you. You better get out there.
Yeah, well, he hit it at 8:30 in the morning. You know, you called me probably around, you know, 10 or something, say, all right, you know, you want to hunt him with me this evening? I said I was going to be getting off work early.
Yeah.
Enough. You came home doing something, and I noticed that he hit it again at 11:30. And I called you. I'm like, dude, he's tearing it up.
Yeah.
Just get in there now. So you ended up, you know, getting in there at like 12:30.
Yeah. And I kind of hunted on the outskirts of that bottom. I was right on the top from that bottom.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a preset that we had, and, you know, kind of figured him to come working up that top, checking does, you know, feeding in the eggs.
Preset over top of a food plot.
Yeah. So I kind of sat there and I didn't really have much action. I never saw him that night. Saw a few other deer. Came back to the house and I was like, you know what? I'm going down in that bottom and I'm going to kind of hang on that scrape. Yeah. That was my idea.
Next morning.
Yep. So I went to bed that night and I was like, I'm hunting that scrape in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down in that bottom, you know, got up bright and early, went down in that bottom. And I was kind of like thinking about where the camera was, scrape, everything. And I was thinking about like towards the west, the east, west kind of...
Whoa, east or west here? Come on.
You better delete that.
Okay.
So I was thinking about over to the west, you know, bucks kind of cruising that creek bottom. And the reason I set up in there was because of that. And it's a thick bottom. Years past, bucks have been down there in daylight in the morning. And I set up, and I know I'm stupid. I should have set up over the scrape. But, had this one 10-point come in. It was a new buck. We never had pictures of before.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe on like a video non-cell in the background. Like
yeah.
Maybe. But yeah. Couldn't tell for sure.
This year, end of October, we picked him up on that non-cell in the scrape on the top field, basically, with crown.
Yeah.
And that was like kind of the first look we got at him. And he's a respectable solid deer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know his age class or nothing, but he came down in off the gas line. And came right to that scrape, took right to that scrape. And he never hit the scrape before either. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought it was crown.
Yeah.
You know, I threw a couple grunts at him, and I think I snort wheezed at him once too. And he as soon as I saw him, I threw everything at him basically.
Yeah.
And he came down, tore that scrape up, and I thought he was going to kind of work in, but he ended up circling back out of the bottom and worked away from me. And I was like, man, what can I do? And I literally remember as soon as he hit the cell cam, Gavin texted me. He's like, you going to shoot him or what?
Yeah. I was like, you going to shoot this boy? Or yeah. something stupid like that.
And I was like, oh, these damn deer. I was like, motherfucker. I was so pissed off. I was like, I tried everything. He just didn't come in.
Yeah. And then he texted me. He said, bitch is working away.
Yeah. Bitch is working away. So I threw him the book and tried to get him to come in. He never did. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ended up looking at the camera. You're like, you asked me, I think. You're like, what deer is it?
Yeah.
And I looked at the camera. I was like, well, I told you. I was like, I assume it's him, you know,
yeah.
Crown.
I was like, no, that's a 10 point.
Yeah. And looked at it. So that was the second buck that hit that scrape, you know, 6th, 7th.
Two mornings in a row.
Kind of
one we knew about, other was a total random, but they were both kind of randomly just daylight hit the scrape.
Yeah.
First time on the camera.
First time, the 6th and 7th, right on that scrape.
How far were you from the scrape?
I set up, I think I ranged him once at 83, and he was...
Oh,
like
really?
15 yards away from the scrape. So I was like 75 away from the scrape or something like that. And which obviously I was kicking myself in the ass for it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got down that morning around 11 o'clock, I pushed, you know, further into that scrape. There's a perfect tree. I got picked out, set the sticks up in it. I was 31 yards from the scrape. And I'm like, all right, this is where I'm at.
Tomorrow morning.
You know, next two mornings, I got a southeast wind. It's perfect for this setup, and I'm going to try to kill in here these next couple mornings.
Yeah.
And with the evening before not seeing much action through that bottom, I think me and you kind of decided to go hunt that permission piece that we just regained.
The landlocked permission piece.
Yeah, because we're like, all right, you know, there's hot does in here. Like, we got to get back in it.
Yeah.
And I remember me and you going back in there, and as soon as we're climbing up in the tree, there's deer, you know.
Chaos again.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting in the tree. There's bucks chasing does.
Yeah, literally. I mean, you got, you know, platformed in. You were tethered in or whatever, and I was climbing up the tree. I got to the top of the sticks, and, you know, just all heck broke loose, and this buck come busting out of the thicket after a doe at, like, 30 yards.
Yeah, 30 yards. I was like, right here.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
I mean, it wasn't a bad deer. It was definitely a deer worth freaking out about, like, just got into the tree, and he, you know, just popped out running out of a thicket at 30 yards. You're like, buck right here, you know. And then I threw my binos up right away and noticed it was probably like 125 inch 8 point with a big broken two. Like his two was broken off, but he came out, you know, charging that doe. And then I think another little buck came out right after him or something.
Yeah, yeah, we Elliot. Watched him breed that day.
It was Elliot.
Elliot, yeah.
Elliot came out after him. But yeah, he ended up mounting her.
Yeah.
At like 40 some yards.
Yeah, we just like had a hell of a show going on, and all these bucks are pushing these does around. It. Look, as soon as we get in the tree, I think it was like 3 o'clock.
Oh, dude, my backpack was on and everything. This buck's mounting this doe at 40 some yards, and I'm trying to get my backpack off, hang it up, get my camera out to be able to film some of it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally as soon as I got to the top sticks, and yeah, we probably should have been in there at 2:30 with it being the given date, but it was, you know, 3:15 or something like
after that. The morning hunt, you know, getting ready for the evening hunt, moving positions, whatever.
Yeah.
We ended up, and there was action like crazy as soon as we got in, and we actually laid eyes on the buck I shot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he ended up come charging out of the thicket at some given point. I mean, obviously, this broken two buck worked off to probably like 90, 100 yards, and it's pretty thick throughout this bottom, and I mean, everywhere you looked, you just saw deer. So, like, I mean, you know me, I'm always binoing deer. Like, I'm always checking deer again. I can see the same buck 10 different times, but every single time I see him a minute apart, I'm always binoing him for some reason. And I mean, for the reason we had, somehow the buck you ended up shooting came out of the thicket, took over that hot doe or that doe or whatever.
Basically, yeah.
And pushed him off. Well, we thought it was the broken two buck, but it ended up being Beamer.
Yeah.
And
that was the first time we laid eyes on him.
Yeah.
And I think one trail cam picture on the cell cam of them before that.
Yeah.
And we knew what deer was, like, or maybe a couple, because we had trail cam pictures of him with both brows, and then he broke his brow.
Yeah.
So it was like two miscellaneous pictures.
Yeah.
And we saw him, and we're like, holy crap, that's that deer. And he was tight on this doe.
Oh, yeah. At like 70, 80 yards.
Yeah. I mean, we threw a couple grunts at him. He didn't want anything to do with us.
We ended up having like another 2.5, 3.5-year-old 8-point running around with some other does. The broken two buck worked off. We ended up seeing him in different areas while, you know, Beamer's at 70, 80 yards with this hot doe just locked on him. I mean, I remember hearing him grunting and stuff like that. And I mean, at that point, I mean, you made up. We knew he was a 4-year-old. We knew exactly what buck it was. You made up that you were going to shoot him.
Yeah, I was like, if he comes with this doe out of this thicket, you know, right here, it's going down.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he ended up working back into the thicket with that doe.
Yeah.
And wasn't, like, really letting her get very far away from him.
No. Yeah, and he went where she went.
Yeah. And we, you know, the rest of the evening, just some little bucks chasing does around, you know?
Yeah, it was like, it was chaos there for 30 minutes. I mean, a deer everywhere you looked, and it was a buck with a doe everywhere you looked. And then it was like a light switch turned off. All these deer ended up working back into this real thick thicket on top where they came out of. And it, you know, we ended up not really getting into much more that night. I mean, yeah, a couple doe, a couple little bucks, but not like it was for that first 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So like with having that encounter with him, you know, like obviously, you know, Crown's on the top of my mind just because I have that match set with him from the year before. And I'm like, well, Crown hit that scrape in the bottom on the 6th. You know, I went home that night and I was thinking about it. And I'm like, I'm going to hunt that scrape again.
Yeah.
You know, both mornings, these bucks have hit this scrape in this bottom. I'm like, I'm going in on my preset.
Yeah, what did I do? Was that a weekday?
No, you were working that morning.
Yeah, so it was a weekday. You had off and I went to
work. It was a Friday. It was Friday morning. You had off work. You went down to your grandpa's.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, I was hunting somewhere else. Yep. That's right. Yep. Yeah.
So you went and hunted a different piece. And, that morning I put a game plan together. I'm like, I'm going to go hunt this bottom. You know, it's been a lot of action down there. So I slipped in there nice and early and got set up in that new preset, 31 yards away from the scrape. I'm all solid set up. And, first light comes and not much action. Next thing you know, I had these two does come busting. I was down in this creek bottom, and I had this, you know, this ridge right next to me, basically like eye level with me. And these two does come busting off the ridge down into the bottom. And like they're running like a bat out of hell. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, they're probably getting chased.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was freaking out. That morning I was actually walking in and I had my headlamp on, pitch black of the woods, and this little 6-point. I mean, I was literally 10 yards away from the 6-point, just nose down cruising, like didn't care, just doing circles in front of me. Like just didn't have a care in the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe one of these little bucks up there on this ridge top are just pushing them down to the bottom. Well, she came down into the bottom and she just started blowing her head off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she blew like probably 4 or 5 times in this bottom. And I'm like, man, what is going on? Like, I'm just like, you know, getting all discouraged and everything. And I'm like, it was actually a fawn and a mom doe.
Mm-hmm.
And the doe was down the bottom blowing and the fawn was just right on the top with me.
Yeah.
And she blew a few times down the bottom. Then she ended up working back up to her fawn. And I was kind of watching them, keeping tabs. And she had me, like, basically the whole time. But she wasn't blowing at me. After really? She worked up, she eventually circled me, caught my wind, whatever. She was on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying not to move very much. And I'm looking over my back right shoulder at her. And she's working back up the ridge, like, kind of ignoring me. And I see her looking down in the bottom in front of me. And, like, just locked on to something else. And I'm like, well, she's not paying any attention to me. Well, I look down the bottom, and, you know, Beamer's coming straight up the bottom, you know, right to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, it's going down right yeah. now. And I'm freaking out, you know. I'm trying not to bust these does, but at the same time, I'm trying to, you know, get everything on this buck. So I turn the camera on. I start filming. I get this buck coming in. And he's at 35 yards, and he stops broadside at 35 yards. And he's standing there staring at these does, and these does are real spooky. And this is, like, right first thing in the morning. And I'm just, like, trying to be as sudden as I can. Like, I'm not trying to move at all, not trying to spook anything. And I'm very easy filming. I'm watching these does, blah, blah, blah. And I finally get the camera on him. I'm zoomed in on him. Everything's all set up. He's at 35 yards. And I was getting ready to grab my bow and, you know, swing around the right side of my tree because I'm in my saddle. I was filming on the left side, the right side of the tree. I was getting ready to draw back and shoot. And I'm slowly working over there. And next thing you know, these does just bust down right into my bottom, mm-hmm. just right down to me. And I, like, kind of turn over my shoulder, but at the same time, I'm going to draw back. And this coyote comes down the ridge, you know, right at that buck I was about to shoot. And that buck sees him and just blows and turns around and runs out of there. And I was about to draw back, so I go to draw back on this coyote, and he snuck away from me too. And I was just sitting there, like, just ruined.
Just discouraged.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what the hell just happened? I'm like, I was just trying to just not move much, like, to ruin anything. If I would have just moved quick, I mean, I could have pulled a shot off.
Gotcha.
Either way, it didn't end up affecting me that much. But at the same time, I was like.
At the time.
Yeah.
At the time, you were pretty mad.
Yeah. So in my mind, I think a coyote chased them does down the bottom.
Yeah.
She was blowing. Well, she ended up circling me, caught my scent, whatever. It was just real weary.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. It ended up not working out. And I was just like, well, you know, that was the same buck we saw at that piece Thursday
yeah.
night.
Yeah, the night before
yeah.
on a different piece across the road.
Yeah. And he was on that doe. And I was thinking to myself, as soon as I saw him, like literally as soon as I saw him in my head, I'm like, why is he alone?
Yeah.
And we did actually have a trail cam picture of him at like 4 o'clock
okay.
on the piece.
Okay.
Before yeah. he hit that scrape. And in my mind, I'm like, why is he, you know, why did he leave that doe? I'm like, he's either done with her mm-hmm. or something kicked him off of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't see any of the other shooters that morning. So I was kind of putting a game plan together and, you know, it just kind of all fell in line. Like every morning I was hunting that scrape in that bottom.
Yeah.
And every evening I was hunting, you know, that new permission piece.
Yep.
So I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? If he's off that doe, I was like, I know there's hot does in there. I was like, I'm going back into that piece. So I ended up getting out of the stand at like 11 o'clock that morning. Didn't have much action after that. And, you know, kind of put a game plan together. You were hunting down
yeah, at other places. Total different piece, so I was pretty far from you.
Yeah, I didn't really have anyone to go in there with, and I was like, well, I'll go in there myself. We kind of have a tree picked out. I think we hunted this. This would have been the third time we sat this tree.
Yeah, it was a good spot.
So we kind of had a spot picked out, and I was like, yeah, we got a good wind for it. You know, I'll slip in around this thicket and get set up in this tree. So I remember going in there pretty early. It was like 2 o'clock, and I get in there, and same thing every single time we've hunted it. I get up in the tree, and I'm like, there's a buck, you know, running doe through this thicket. It's just like, you see them through there, but like, you know, they're 60, 80 yards away, and you're like, you know, it's going down in there. And as soon as I saw that in that tree, I'm like, should I get in this thicket? I was like thinking about pulling my shit down, moving in. Cause like the whole time I was like, man, what should I do? I don't even know what deer are in here. And we threw a cell cam up in this piece, like, you know, a couple days before I ended up killing this deer. And we threw it up on a scrape. Nothing was really hitting it, but we just didn't know what deer were in the area. So I pushed in there that evening anyways, just in hopes of like something bigger, pushed him off his doe. And I start seeing bucks in this thicket, whatever. Kind of had a slow spill for a pretty long while. And then about 5 o'clock, I saw two does come off of this thicket. And it's kind of hard to paint a picture, but it's like a thicket. It's a transition between a thicket and a hardwoods, and then it drops down in this bottom.
Rolls down in this big, I mean, pretty big river bottom.
Yeah, and the bottom's pretty thick, too, in pockets. It's thick pockets, almost. And this one thick pocket, these deer would always roll down the, you know, the main thicket into this bottom pocket, and we were, like, 40 yards from it. So I watched these two does do the same thing that, you know, you and I have repetitively seen them do. They roll down this hillside into the thicket. I'm watching them. I'm like, oh, you know, no buck with them, whatever. And then, you know, 10 minutes pass by and I see this one doe and she comes out and she just looks rough. Like she, her hair is all roughed up and everything. And she's like limping, you know, down this hillside. And I'm like, man, there's gotta be a buck with her. There's gotta be a buck with her. She's 40 yards. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And next thing you know, I catch this movement out of the corner of my eye. And at 20 yards, you know, this buck just nailed that scrape that we put that cell cam on. And he was just downwind in that doe, you know, 20 yards fairing my side. He took another, you know, 10 steps and I shot him and he ran down to the bottom. And
yeah, he died, what, in one of the little pocket thickets we've been talking about in this river bottom.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he, you know, he read the script. He was downwind of his doe, you know, worked a scrape. And what's crazy about that scrape is that was the first time any deer has actually worked that scrape. And he tore it up, you know, on camera and everything. Like, he tore that scrape up and worked out. And
another funny point to this is you were texting me and Nick earlier in the hunt. I mean, it was probably 3 o'clock. I'm hunting, Nick's hunting.
Yeah.
We're all texting in a group chat. And I just remember you saying, oh, you know, my phone's going to die. Well, you know, me and Nick kept texting. You ended up not texting us anymore. And obviously, I can see these cell cams, too. They're your cell cams, but they're shared with me.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I didn't see it till late. I was hunting and stuff like that. I was hunting and I was covered in deer, so I wasn't really checking cameras at different spots. Well, I ended up getting out of the woods and whatnot and getting back to the truck. And I remember I was like just getting into the truck and I was with my dad and you called me and it was, you know, well after shooting light. Like we were driving home at that point. It was 6:15, something like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you right now. I'll call you when I get home. Well, then I checked the cell cams and I see Beamer hit the freaking scrape and I knew that you were hunting, you know, sub 20 yards from the scrape. So I'm like, wait, his phone probably died. He's probably just now calling me back. I should probably call him back. So I called you back. And yeah, I mean, that's when you actually told me. And that I think you haven't really told many people by that point.
Yeah, no. I really didn't talk to anyone. I came back to the house, told my dad.
Yeah, because, I mean, your phone was dead. You shot the deer. You ended up getting out of the freaking tree, going all the way home before you ended up actually, you know, getting your phone alive and telling anyone, really.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at the deer, enjoyed the moment for a little bit. But, you know, I went home, charged my phone up and everything. And just kind of told everybody, but that was cool. That was a cool experience.
Yeah. I mean, you ended up ripping right through him.
Yeah.
I mean, you ran 30 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that was the first time I ever blew through a deer with an arrow.
Yeah.
And it ripped right through him. He went 20 yards, died in the bottom. And I was just like, I was just enjoying it all. Yeah. Just taking in the moment.
Yeah. You let the new bow eat. You got the new lift. Yeah. Matthew's lift.
Yeah. Let her eat.
No, that's her second deer with it.
Yeah.
Shot a deal with it. But, no, yeah. I mean, you called me, we talked. I knew exactly what deer it was. You said it was dead. You went in there and recovered it, what, with your dad and uncle?
Yeah, my, yep.
Yeah, so you went and recovered it. You had it back to the shop. I was, you know, over an hour from home, so I did not get home until well after you had it in the shop.
Yeah.
Other people were over, and I ended up coming out that night, and, you know, we celebrated, hung out around the deer and stuff like that. But, I mean, that's kind of the story on Beamer. What did Beamer end up going?
128 3/8
128.
He broke about a 5-inch brow.
Yeah, that's the only thing that sucks. And that's something we didn't really cover that much is, you know, we had, I mean, I know we said something about it. We had pictures of him, what, just a couple days before with both brows. Yeah. And then he ended up breaking the brow. And I remember the night, you know, the night before you shot him, seeing him. And I remember you saying something, man, I wish he didn't break that brow. I never really paid like too much attention to his brows on trail camera pictures. I just thought maybe it was like a 2 or 3 inch difference. I was like, you know, that shouldn't be holding you back from hunting. It's only like 2 inches, but no, it was like, yeah, probably we're looking at him right now. It's probably five and a half inch brow.
So. Yeah. I think it measured like 5 3/8 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's a good, he carries a good brow. He had 20 inch beams, you know, he had that one, you know, fourth tine on his right side.
Yeah.
That was a couple inches. Yeah. It wasn't even really over 2 inches, but
yeah,
he carried beams, you know, brows.
But I mean,
solid deer.
If he had both those brows, that would be your biggest buck, right?
He'd be mid-30s, yeah.
Mid-30s, biggest deer. And you shot a 129 last year.
Yeah.
So he just shy 1 inch of, you know, at least matching.
Yeah. Definitely my biggest frame, most mature buck.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a four-year-old.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's definitely cool. That's kind of a milestone.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with him.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of worked out like that. The one thing that blew my mind is just like, with those scrapes in that bottom, just those three different bucks that hit that bottom and would have taken to that scrape just like three mornings in a row.
Three different bucks.
Yep. Three different bucks, three different mornings in a row. Damn. Never hit the scrape one single time before.
Yeah.
And they just drilled that scrape. They took to it like it was their freaking home range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was crazy. That blew my mind. And then what blew my mind is like right before I shot the buck I shot, he came out and blew that scrape up that me and you put in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, another thing I want to bring to you, your guys' attention that me and Drake obviously know. So, me and Drake saw this buck on landlocked property, you know, the evening before.
Yeah.
Next morning, across the road, about a mile apart, you almost shot him on that scrape.
Got blown out by the coyote.
So that's a mile apart across the road.
Yep.
And then by that evening, sometime throughout the middle of the day, he crossed the road and traveled that mile again, and you shot him on that landlocked piece.
Yep. Had no, I didn't expect him to be in there.
So what is that? I mean, within 24 hours, you saw him in three different spots. Well, you know, two different spots.
3 miles.
Yeah. I mean, 3 total miles. So
back and forth. Yeah. Maybe four.
I mean, the thing that is crazy is the midday he crossed the road and, you know, you saw him that morning, ended up shooting him in the evening a mile apart.
Yeah.
That just goes to show, I mean, certain time of year what deer will do.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not often you see, you know, a four-year-old buck crossing the road. I mean, he had to have crossed. I mean, maybe he crossed the road as soon as you blew, or that coyote blew him out. Did he run that way?
Kind of. Not really. Like, it would have been, you know, it would have been definitely, like, plenty daylight. Like, he crossed the road in the daytime.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They walked across the road.
I mean, probably 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah. And, like, it's not, like, a, you know, super rural area. You know, there's houses and stuff that you gotta, you know,
I mean, cross. Yeah, he definitely had to, at some point, walk within 100 yards of a house or two, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't expect to see him in there that night.
No, yeah, I mean, you were just kind of going in there hoping, you know, if this four-year-old buck got somehow bumped off this hot doe from last night, odds are there's a bigger buck with, you know, on that doe in there.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
And when he popped out, I was like, oh, he just keeps following me around.
It's meant to be.
Yeah.
So, but no, that wraps up your season. What are your plans?
You know, I got that longbow. Been shooting a recurve for a little while, so I'm going to get some arrows tuned in. I mean, I've been practicing a decent amount with it, but I'm going to definitely practice a lot more before I actually go out and try to shoot something.
Yeah, go try to shoot some does with it.
Definitely want to shoot a doe.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Before the end of season with it. If I don't try it, I'm definitely going to try to shoot a doe no matter what. So,
Yeah, I mean, definitely try to get some more doe meat or get some more deer meat, shoot some does, manage some farms, even if that's with a wheelbow or a traditional bow. But
hunt with my buddies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so. they're still buddies with buck tags in their pockets. So another thing is you still have a Michigan tag.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely a thought.
Nick's been talking about Michigan.
Yeah. Nick has mentioned going up to Michigan for their muzzleloader season, which I think is December 5th or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 5th through the 10th or something. It's 5 days or something.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a little bit longer, but
it might be. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So that's another thought. I mean, you're still eating tag soup as of right now in Michigan.
Michigan for sure. I'll definitely try to make it up there again. I know Joey's going to Iowa, like, you know, middle of December, and I want to try to get out there.
You're
going to
go out there with him, film him?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah. So you definitely won't be just sitting on the couch.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't like doing that.
Yeah. So, all righty. Well, this is the Wild Time Talk Show. Peace out.
Later.